Good to see everyone that's here this morning. We appreciate you being here. We have a good crowd, visitors amongst us, and we want to welcome you as our honored guests this morning. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 7, the writer there says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Upon that last little phrase, righteousness according to faith, we are going to base our thoughts this morning. I took a lesson from Heroes of Faith that I gave a few years ago and kind of reworked it a little bit and changed some things a little bit. So this is a reconditioned rerun, I guess, if you want to say. So we want to notice this righteousness which is according to faith. And without a doubt, the story of Noah is one of the most familiar and most loved stories in the Bible. And children play with their little toys of the ark and the animals, two by two, going into the ark. And of course, the floods came and flooded the earth. I want to notice some of the facts about the ark. It was really quite an amazing ship, if you want to say, or boat, as some others consider it. Vicki and I were lucky enough about a year and a half ago to go to the ark experience, or I think is what they call it. I may be wrong about that, back in Kentucky. Some of you others here this morning have been able to go to that as well. So some of the pictures that you'll see this morning are of that experience, and hopefully it kind of gives us a little better idea of what was going on in that day and time. So let's notice some facts about the ark. The ark was measured by cubits. And as in Genesis, the 6th chapter, it gives us the dimensions of that ark. Now, the Hebrew cubit was about 17 and a half inches long, and the Egyptian cubit was about 20 and a half inches long. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but I did this morning. I went out in the garage, and I grabbed a tape measure, and I measured from the tip of my finger to the end of my elbow, which is considered a cubit, and it was 18 inches. So this is just a diagram of how the Egyptians and the Hebrews measured things in that day and time. And you can see here that from the end of the elbow to the tip of the fingers is considered a cubit. Of course, that depends on the size of the person that's doing the measuring. Well, apparently the Egyptians were quite larger than the Hebrews. The Egyptians is about 20 and a half inches. That's quite a bit. Mine measured 18. They were bigger people than I am. But the Hebrew cubit, which possibly is what was used, was about 17 and a half inches. And then we see this ruler, if you want to say, was probably a Hebrew measuring stick in those day and time, and that's a cubit there. So the ark was at least 437 feet long, according to the Hebrew cubit, and as much as 512 feet long, according to the Egyptian cubit. You can see this is the Queen Mary II, how long it is, and the Titanic, and some of the other ships that we might be familiar with in history. And then Noah's Ark was approximately maybe about as much as 512, and I've lost my battery power this morning, so I'm going to stay close to this one here. The width of the ark was at least about 73 feet and as much as 84 feet wide. You can see I've got the little diagram here for people, and you can see that little small thing right there. This is some of the pictures Vicki and I took a year and a half ago, and that's a person standing over. You can see the size, roughly, of the size of this vessel or ship. It's not something that is Really, we can even fathom in our minds till we kind of go and experience and see it. It gives you a little bit of concept of how big this ark was. The height was at least 43.75 feet high, and as much as 51.25 feet high. The ark had a ratio of 30:5:3. And according to master shipbuilders, the ratio represents an advanced knowledge of shipbuilding and is the optimum design for stability in rough seas. The ark, as designed by God, was virtually impossible to capsize. It would have to have rolled on its side 90 degrees to be in any peril of capsize. Using the shorter cubit for calculations, the ark would have an internal volume of 1.5 million cubic feet, or the equivalent to 569 standard railroad boxcars. If the average size animal was the size of a sheep, that means the ark could hold over 125,000 sheep. And assuming the shape of the ark to be rectangular, there would have been over 100,000 square feet of floor space. So it's quite an amazing ship. It's quite an amazing structure. It's just quite an amazing piece of work. We picture Noah and his family huddled in the tiny cramped space of the ark, maybe surrounded by his other loved ones and their families, maybe their own little cubicles, maybe they were all together. We don't know all that. But God decided how he would build this ark, and certainly there was space inside for all this. But the story of Noah and the ark is more than just a children's story. It's a true story about God's judgment against man and his unfaithfulness, about salvation and damnation. And perhaps most of all, it's a story about one man's faith in God. The Bible says that Noah was warned of the flood that was coming. In Genesis, the sixth chapter, we'll start reading with verse 5 and read through verse 22. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord, and I want you, as we read through this, I want you to think about what's going on in the world today. Just think about the things that were going on in Noah's time and how God got fed up with that, and what's going on in our world today. And we wonder how long the Lord is going to put up with the world that we live in today. In verse 6, and the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beasts, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their ways on the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters upon the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh, in which is the breath of life, everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you, and of every living thing of all flesh you shall bring two of every sort into the ark, to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female, of the birds after their kind, of animal after their kind, of every creeping things of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourselves of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourselves, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. There's several things as we read through that kind of flash into our mind about what's going on today. You know, a picture certainly that is painted about all the things that are happening around us, the reducing of morality in the world and amongst us. But Noah was warned of the coming judgment of God. Noah had faith and listened to God and did as God commanded him. Noah was found righteous in God's eyes and found God's favor. Noah lived a righteous life and it pleased God. Noah walked with God is what the scripture teaches us here. And Noah acted on the promises of what was coming. When we have faith, we listen to God and what his warnings are. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter and verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's a warning from God. We need to seek him in faith. A warning to remain faithful. A warning to not get caught up in the things of this world. A warning to leave sin alone. A warning to believe everything God commands us to do and do it without hesitation because we don't want to be lost. He doesn't want us to be lost either. But God had lost his patience with man because every intent of the heart, it says in Genesis 6, every intent of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. We see some people today that just can't seem to get it right. And it seems like they just continually live in a state of just messing things up throughout their life. Making bad decisions, making poor decisions, making the wrong decisions. And the problem today is that a lot of people really don't believe God or believe in God. And that brings us to our next point. Noah moved with godly fear in verse 7. This means that Noah had respect and reverence toward God for his word and for what he had said. Noah's faith enabled him to trust in what God said and would happen. Noah's faith enabled him to be obedient to what God told him to do, even though that he might think it impossible or not current day behavior, if you want to say, or what's going along with, you know, being part of the world. He was going to be different. Noah probably said, well, I believe what God is said is going to happen, and I better do what God tells me to do and be prepared for that day. Noah's faith had caused him to believe something that in Noah's mind probably was impossible to do. To build something that big, that huge. You saw some of the pictures that we put up on the screen this morning and how huge this vessel was, this ship was. And he and others built this with the faith that one day what God said would happen, would happen. Nothing else had happened like this before. No one had ever taken on a project like this before, and it took approximately between 75 to 100 years to build, as according to what we understand. God calls us to have faith and believe in him even though we cannot see him, and believe that what God has promised he will provide to us who remain faithful. When we have that healthy fear that respects and reverences God and his word, we'll have the faith that believes and acts upon the impossible. Our faith will cause us to move with godly fear and act on what we believe and obey. Romans 1, verses 20 and 21, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We see the world around us, how God created the things around us. This is evidence of God. "Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were hardened or darkened." Sometimes we have a problem because we can't see. We fall away. We stray sometimes because we don't see God's wrath right in front of us. We don't see heaven right in front of us. But we have faith that's there because God said it is there. So we continue living the Christian life. It wasn't easy for Noah to go against the grain of the day, if you want to say, against society at that point in time. Everybody else maybe had turned their back on God. Noah had warned them just like Noah had been warned. But others turned their backs. And to make matters worse, it's likely that most of Noah's neighbors thought he was completely crazy. So now let's look how the ark is symbolic of the church. The ark of Noah is a great picture and symbol of the church provided by Christ in his our ark of safety. 1 Peter 3 and verses 20 and 21, "Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." You see, it's a type of the ark. And he's saying is how that baptism saves us today. That is our ark of safety that is given to us today. There was also one family that was saved in the flood. Everyone except Noah and his immediate family didn't believe Noah. There's only one family and one name in the church. Galatians 3 and 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Romans 12 and verse 5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." We take on the family name and are brothers and sisters with each other. God made a covenant with Noah, Genesis 9 and verses 11 and through 13. Thus I established my covenant with you. Never again shall any flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Every time you see a rainbow in the sky, just remember, God put that there as a reminder of his covenant with us, that he would never flood the earth again. God also made a covenant with us, Hebrews 10 and verses 16 through 17. "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." That's a promise, and that's a covenant God made with us. That there would be a day that he would take away our sins and he would remember them no more. And God has provided the ark of safety for us because he loves us. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God didn't want everyone to be destroyed in the days of Noah. If they would listen to his warning and repent. And John 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God has prepared this ark of safety for us because he loves us. There is only one door into the ark, and there is only one way into the church of Jesus Christ. In Genesis 6 and verse 16, he says, and set the door of the ark in its side. Symbolically, listen to what Thomas had just said to Jesus in John 14 and verses 5 and 6. Lord, we do not know where you are going, or how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And other religious organizations in the world today, man has changed what God designed to what they think is a better way, or that certain things are not necessary to please God and be pleasing to God. Remember, faith and remaining faithful is what pleases God. Things that are not faith displease God. You know, you may have heard this story. I've given the example before. But Roger Staubach, who was a Dallas Cowboy quarterback, they went to victory of a Super Bowl in 1971, and he admitted that he really struggled with taking direction from Coach Landry. Coach Landry would send in every single play, and Roger Staubach wasn't the one to be able to make the decisions on which play to run. But he said, if you ever do that, you better make sure it works. And Roger Staubach really had to come to the conclusion that he needed to humble himself, if you want to say, and face up and be obedient, if you want to say, to Coach Landry. And he said, once I learned to obey, there was harmony, and there was fulfillment, and there was victory. And that's the way it is with God. When we want to do things our way, when we want to change things up to our liking, when we want to, well, I think it would be better this way, or I really don't like that, or wouldn't it be better if we did this? When we have clear instruction in the scriptures of how God wants it to be and how Jesus designed it, and we want to change that, look at the religious world today. I was watching a video the other day that had some guy flying out of the rafters on a zip line out into the audience and calling this a church service. It's nothing more than entertainment. And we don't find anything like that within the scriptures. We're not here to entertain. We're here to obey and to worship God. This is not for our liking. It is for God's enjoyment, God's praise, God's worship. And so we can't change the design of things to our liking. There was only one window in the ark. Genesis 6 and 16, you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above. The window allowed light into the ark to reveal what was going on inside. And symbolically, there is only one truth, and that is the Bible. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway, Psalm 119 and 105. There is only one ark. He says in Genesis 6 and 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. And symbolically, just like there is only one ark, there is only one church. Ephesians 4 and verses 4 through 6, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Isn't it nice when we can always rely on something being the same, something being so simple that we can rely on that, that we can have faith in that, that we can have trust in that, that we can go about our day realizing that we've made the right decision and not wonder about it? That's God's design. One body, the church. Baptism is the only way you can get into the ark of safety, and it takes faith to go in the right door. Acts 4 and verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If God designed the church and Christ put his name on it, then a church or an organization that has another name, you can't be saved by that. In John 10, verses 7 through 10, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Another illustration. In an NCAA cross-country championship held in Riverside, California, 123 of 128 runners missed a turn on the course. One competitor, Mike Delcavo, turned the right way, staying on the 10,000-meter course, and began waving for his fellow runners to follow him. But he was only able to convince four other runners to go with him. When asked what his competitors thought about his mid-race decision to not follow the crowd, Delcavo said, they thought it was funny that I went the right way. You see, there is only one way to heaven. There's only one church. There's only one God. There's only one of everything that we just read about. And we have to make sure we get in the right way, that we get on the right ship, that we get in the ark of safety and don't get on the wrong ship. There's safety in the ark. It takes faith to realize God's love and care for us. Romans 8 and verses 31 and verses 37 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's safety in the ark. There's safety in the church, because God shows us that he loves us. We must get in the ark to be saved. It takes faith to get in the ark. In Genesis 7 and 1, the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Symbolically, we must be in the church to be saved. John 3 and verses 3 through 5, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That's kind of scary, isn't it? So that's how we get into the ark of safety. It's faith that causes us to obey God. We must remain in the ark to get to our destination and receive the reward. It takes faith to stay in the ark. You know, Noah had to remain faithful for a long time. And while he was building the ark, from 75 to 100 years, whatever it was, he had to remain faithful. He had to keep on building. You know, here I'm 68 years old. And it took longer than that for Noah to build the ark and to remain faithful to what God had promised that he would save. Oh, good grief. Decides to do this now. Noah had to remain faithful through all the ridicule, through all the jeers and making fun of him and his family for building this ark. He had to remain faithful. There will be tough times in our Christian life that we have to remain faithful, to fight the ridicule of being a Christian, to fight all the persecution that we might be that might be sent towards us, the frustration, the temptation, the discouragements of life. In Revelation 2 and 10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. It takes courage to go the right way when everyone else seems to be going the wrong way. Just like I'm sure there was a little bit of doubt in this person's mind when he was running this race, this 10,000 meter race, wondering, well, now did I really make the right decision? But he pretty much made his commitment that he was going to go the right way, regardless of how much the other crowd went the wrong way. It takes courage to stay in the right way sometimes. We must endure the storms that are outside the ark, endure the winds of change that are around us. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whoever hears the saying of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Also James 1, verses 2 through 8 and verse 12. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one says it's going to be easy. And sometimes we're going to be faced with hard decisions in our life, to remain faithful or to go with the world. And sometimes that's pretty tough decisions for us to make, just like Noah had to make in that day and time. But we have to remain faithful to be able to enjoy the pleasures of eternity. Outside the ark is death and drowning in sin. It takes faith to stay in the ark. Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. All that is not in the ark will be destroyed. Genesis 4 and verse 7 and verse 4, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter 3 and verses 3 through 14. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. Again, think about what's going on in our world today. Knowing this, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that the Lord, with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent that to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. So just as Noah was warned in that day and time, we are warned of the coming destruction, so we need to be ready. Well, how can we get into the ark? How do we get into the ark? We've noticed that we need to be in the ark, that there is an ark. There's only one ark to get into. There's only one way to get into it. How do you get into it? Let's notice that. First, we must hear the word of God in Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we don't ever hear of God, if we don't ever hear of the ark of safety, then we won't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. So faith comes from hearing what we need to do, just like Noah was told what he needed to do. He heard God's word and he acted on it. But we must believe God also. Mark 16, verse 16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Also, we must repent. Luke 13, verse 3, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We must confess the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew 10, verse 32. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. And then we must be baptized into Christ. Acts 2 and verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's how we get in to the ark of safety. That's how we get into the church. That's how we become a child of God. That's how we become born again. That's how we become a new child. That's how our sins are washed away. That's how we're cleansed, is by being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins. Hear the word, believe it, repent of our lives. That means make a change of heart and mind that changes the direction our life is going, to live a life that is dedicated to living for God now. And then being baptized into Christ, making the confession of our faith that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then being baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. And if we've stepped out of the ark of safety, we confess our faults. James 5 and verse 16, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's a wonderful story, the story of the ark and Noah, how he believed what God commanded him to do for many, many, many years, and 8 souls were saved. We're here because of Noah. And we want to be in heaven because of our faith, believing what God has said, that one of these days the earth will be destroyed and all the things that are in it. And we don't want to be here. We want to be in heaven. We want to be with God. So hear the word, believe it, repent, confess, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins.
We thank you for listening to our podcast put on by the Church of Christ at 2215 Plans Road in Bakersfield. If you would like any additional information or you would like to receive a free Bible correspondence course by mail, please email us at info@churchofchristbakersfield.com. Our service times are Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m., and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Please make plans to join us. We would love for you to be our honored guest.